All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton. Week 2 of the preseason edition of the show, as the Bucks will be back at Raymond James Stadium on Saturday night. They'll take on the Tennessee Titans and their hideously ugly uniforms in second preseason game action after a loss to the Bengals on Saturday night. So we'll talk about all that today here on the show. Bucks and Titans are having joint practices even as I speak here. I'm doing this show on Thursday afternoon, but the Bucks and the Titans have been practicing together yesterday, today, and they'll get, you know, all the way going through the game on Saturday. The Titans will be here. Then they'll play the game. So we got a lot to get to. It's nice to have actual football both in our future and in our past, which is the first show we've done like that in quite a while. And like always, I want to thank our sponsors at, first of all, JoeBucksFan.com, putting us on the air. And second of all, Bill Curry Ford, where just like always, the nationwide unlimited lifetime warranty is in effect for any car you buy over there. So if you buy something from Bill Curry Ford, you are covered for engine trouble as long as you own that car. Still the best thing going in auto sales, in my opinion. And so if you want to check them out, you can check them out online, BillCurryFord.com. C-U-R-R-I-E is how they spell it, BillCurryFord.com. Or go in person to the showroom and the lot. It's a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry, just north of Hillsboro. But if you want to stay home and do the internet route, they'll bring you the cars you want to even just not just buy but look at too. So like you want to see a car on the internet and you click on all, they got a million of them on there. You click on, okay, this one looks good, I might want to take a look. Just tell them and they will deliver that car to your house just for the test drive. And of course, if you buy a vehicle there, same thing. And it's all taken care of. And on top of that, oil changes the first year, good. You get 10 years roadside assistance, so you don't need AAA. They take care of that. All of it, BillCurryFord.com, or check them out a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. And can't thank them enough. I know Sean Sullivan, the GM, is excited as well. He's a huge Bucks fan, and you've heard him on Joe Bucks Fan before. And he, along with everybody else, was watching Saturday night. And so tell me, how long did it take you guys for the excitement to wear off? Because we were all geeked. You know, first time seeing the defending, or I shouldn't even say that. I don't like the term defending. The reigning champs, first time seeing them on the field since the Super Bowl on that same field back in February. And, you know, every year this happens, there's all this buildup, training camp finally opens, then there's some drudgery with that for a while, then they finally get on the field. This, as preseason games go, was pretty boring and hard to watch, even for a preseason game, and they're all like that. You know, none of them are ever great, especially the first one. They're usually sloppy. It's just the nature of it. But in particular, this one was not very much entertaining, and I was there. Actually, I was working the game because I do graphics for TV, and I was in the Cincinnati Bengals TV truck doing some graphics for them. And so, you know, I had my eyes on every single play of the game and was out there on the field in pregame warmups. I mainly wanted to see how the field was going to be with all the rain. You know, if you were here in the area on Saturday, you know how hard it rained. And it was not just, you know, one of those typical afternoon deals that last 10 or 15 minutes. It was a good 30, 45 minutes of really hard rain. At the time, didn't know if like Brady was going to play. I remember they had said, you know, depending on the field conditions. And so I went out there because I wanted to see, because Raymond James Stadium's field is really good. Like, you can dump tons of water on it. It dries pretty quick. It was a little slick, and it was getting chewed up a little bit in warm-ups for it, you know, especially where the linemen are going through drills in the same spot over and over. As you know now, Brady did play. Not much, for any of the starters, really, not much to say. I mean, I guess the one completion he had was the one to Giovanni Bernard on third down. Bernard had a couple of those. So if you're just looking for little glimpses of possible things that may translate to what we'll actually care about in the regular season, because this isn't the type of show, I'm not going to sit here on my show and break down, you know, ooh, that fifth corner, who was it? You know, I don't care. And it's not that I don't care. I shouldn't say I don't care. It's that, you know, that may come up at some point in the season with injuries or something like that. Mainly it's a special teams thing. It's pertinent now because that's the main purpose of the preseason, is to figure out stuff like that. But you're not going to hear me, you know, go into gross detail about that stuff. Giovanni Bernard is something that may come up in the regular season. He looked really good, and he's been having a good camp. And again, he's here because he catches passes, and he can do things with the football after he catches them. in addition to not dropping them when they are thrown to him. And he did that on, I mean, like I said, third down. I mean, that's what, hey, Brady couldn't find someone. He dumped. Bernard got, I think he got 9 yards. I can't remember what it was, third and six, something like that. Got the first down, kept the chains moving. He did it again on a later drive that Gabbert was in for. And so that was cool. And so if you're looking for positives, that was one. Keshawn Vaughn was another positive. You know, Fournette and Jones didn't really, I think, well, they had 3 carries combined between them for like 4 yards. But those are still the top two backs. And then Bernard did what he did. Keshawn Vaughn did well, not just running the ball, but as a gunner on the punt team. Arians said after the game, you know, they got the tracking technology now and all those things. And he got up to 22 miles per hour as a gunner on punt team. That's cool. And I've always, I like Keshawn Vaughn. I think he's got the most, I don't want to use him, is squirtability a word? Can I use that word? I guess I'm more on the internet, so I can use squirtability. But he's got that little shake and bake. He can, you know, pop through there. I like the way he moves. And, you know, he'll get more chances as a runner too, but he did well on special teams. And those four guys are your four backs. So good to see. Oh, hey, how about Joe Tryon, huh? Come on, tell me you didn't get a little chubbed up, just a little bit, when he just went around the right tackle like a traffic cone and just obliterated the Bengals quarterback. And I know he got the flag, which, by the way, if you want to look on YouTube, I didn't even really know about this much until recently. I started watching him, but just go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers channel on YouTube. Like, if you search Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they've got this video series. Like, they produce little clips and stuff, and they've got guy like Tryon was mic'd up. There's game footage. And after that play, the referee came up to Tryon and said, yeah, I think he had looked up on the Jumbotron or something. He said, yeah, you know, I don't think that was that bad. I think I missed that. I'm sorry about that. Hey, fine. It's easier to shake it off when it's a preseason game anyway. Because, yeah, it didn't look like Tryon led with his helmet. Didn't look like he speared or anything like that. And the quarterback looked like he was a runner at that point, the way he was trying to roll and get away. So Tryon, just like I said, it's one play. I don't want to go too crazy about it or anything. But on top of what he's supposedly been doing in practice, it was really good to see. And yeah, I mean, he just whoosh, just boom, guy's on the ground. And it wasn't like he was unblocked. It was like he beat his guy. So yeah, sometimes there's just a blown assignment or somebody misses and the guy just comes in clean. The right tackle was supposed to block him. He just went around him. And it was real fast. Nicely done. So good to see that. The quarterback played. I forgot about that. I mean, Brady was only in there for the first series. Gabbert, okay, he was fine. Led a scoring drive. Really, I guess the intrigue comes down to what they do with Ryan Griffin, because we know Brady is, you know, obviously Brady, and we know Gabbert's number two, and we know Trask is not going anywhere because he was a second-round draft pick. So is Ryan Griffin going to be a fourth quarterback, which I see no need to have a fourth quarterback? Can you get Griffin onto the practice squad? Will he go? I don't know. Who knows? And again, it's not really that big of a deal. And now that Griffin has played, I've actually relaxed a little bit, because that's one guy who's been on the roster for a long time. And up until, like, what was it, last season or late the season before? I think it was last season. He had never technically played in the NFL, even though he had dressed for a bazillion NFL regular season games. He had not actually gotten into a game. Then he got into a game, but he didn't. They just ran it. So he still didn't have an NFL pass attempt. Now he finally has that too, so I've stopped paying as much attention to the whole thing. But I don't see why you'd have four quarterbacks. If they want to put him on the practice squad, they can, if no one else picks him up. But throwing two picks like that, and one of them was a bad throw, another one was off the hands of the receiver. And then Trask came in, and he goes 4 of 15, 35 yards. The offense as a whole did nothing, but I mean, you want to evaluate Trask. You can't evaluate him when he's not playing with the top guys around him. And he did have a couple drops, too. So the 4 for 15 is not totally, you know, it's a little misleading. And the 35 yards is a little misleading. But, you know, hard to say much. He dropped a couple deep ones downfield that were pretty well thrown that didn't get completed. But again, I wouldn't make too big of a deal about it either way. We did have the standard issue holding on a special teams play. In fact, we did it on the first play of the game just to make sure that was front and center again. And if you've heard shows of mine in the past, you know how much I cannot stand special teams penalties, because they're the dumbest penalties in all of football. And literally the opening kickoff, we get a holding call and we start from our own 10. And it was on Kevin Minter, who I like and who's done a great job, did a great job last year in different spots filling in for injured guys and is also on special teams. But I've said it before, like, literally if you're on special teams, whether it's punt coverage, kickoff, whatever it is, like punt return and kickoff return, if you're on those two units, I've said this before and I'll say it again, your number one job, even before blocking anybody, like literally if you block nobody and are just taking up space out there, you've done a better job than someone who gets a goddamn holding penalty on a special teams play for no reason. And we see it all the time. Every time, especially on punts, but on kickoffs too, every time a returner, heaven forbid he changes direction or does anything besides run straight ahead, somebody holds somebody. If I was a coach, I'm telling you, if I was a special teams coach, actually if I was a head coach, I would tell my special teams coach to be like basketball players setting a pick. Like, I want you to fold your arms in front of your body, okay, and run in a straight line up the field in lanes, and we'll let our return guy make cuts off your butt or whatever, but don't even try. Like, just, I want you to fold your arms, run in a straight line, and don't even do anything else besides that, because your dumbasses will probably hold somebody. I'm going to be keeping track of this all year. There aren't many things to complain about with a Super Bowl team, but our special teams, we have a penalty every other return. And it just sucks. And, you know, when you're supposed to start a drive at the 26 or something, instead you start from, now you're starting from, you know, with the 8-yard line or something like that. And for what? Like, was it really that, like, you know how to block. You know when the guy tries to pull away from you. Hey, he's free, man. Let him go. And he might go make a play. Great, whatever. Kickoffs don't get returned for touchdowns all the time. Somebody's going to make a tackle. You know, you don't have to hold someone to prevent it. Just block them as much best you can. Let them go. So that was annoying. I was kind of annoyed right off the bat with the opening special teams holding call, even though I know it's preseason, and even though I love Minter, and I didn't actually even see the holding because nobody bothered to replay it because who cares? But he might not have helped. Maybe it wasn't his fault. I don't know. Just something I noticed. What else? Oh, Tanner Hudson. You know, we didn't have preseason last year. The 2019 preseason. He was practically like Antonio Gates and Tony Gonzalez all wrapped into one, and he's picked up right where he left off. 4 catches for 48 yards. That led all receivers for the Bucs. And I know he's been having a tough camp blocking-wise, and Arians has been down on him, but he's a good pat. I mean, he runs routes. He catches the ball. I mean, he's a valuable pass catcher, and there's just so much. Bray didn't even play because they were easing him back in. Gronkowski, O.J. Howard, they were used very lightly. So Tanner Hudson got to come in and do his thing. And honestly, if we can't use him, he could really help some NFL teams, you know, more than us because we got so many guys. And I know his blocking has been an issue, but he's a good tight end, pass-catching tight end. And he's been proven that, you know, I know it's preseason, but still, I mean, you can tell. It's beyond just he's going against scrubs. He makes plays. So he had a good game out there. Javon Hagan on defense. Out there with the interception, the ball came right out of his hand. Nobody even hit him, but still, the interception to me outweighs the fumble. He also had 6 tackles and 3 tackles for loss. Kenny Britt, the rookie out of Auburn, did a good job. He's definitely making the 53-man roster. He was a mid-round draft pick. And, you know, these are little things that stood out. There wasn't much. That was pretty much it. Oh, and the Bengals uniforms. We don't care about the Bengals. This is a Joe Bucks fan, but let me just say, the NFL as a whole has 32 teams. I care about all of them aesthetically because this is what's on my TV. I'm watching these teams play. It's not just the Bucs. And so anytime a team upgrades, I am happy. And the Bengals, I always loved their uniforms with Boomer Esiason and Icky Woods in the 80s and 90s. Thought they were great. Then, like so many other teams, inexplicably, they just changed to something awful that some shoe company designed more for dudes who wear cargo shorts with their jersey to look good in, rather than looking good on the football field. They wore those for, what, 15 years? They finally cleaned some things up. Thought the Bengals looked really nice on Saturday night. So I'm glad to see another team get better, and just like the Bucs did a couple years ago with their atrocities now in the dustbin. And little by little, we're starting to swing back. It all goes in cycles with the uniforms. Like, you go through these periods where, like, the worst stuff in the entire universe is considered good for some reason. And now we're starting to swing back where they're getting away from that stuff. But we still have the Titans and their blindingly awful uniforms that'll be in here Saturday. So speaking of them, like I said, the joint practices are going on. The Bucs had a lot of drop passes against them on Wednesday. Didn't look great. A lot better on Thursday so far. And again, I'm doing this on Thursday afternoon. They've wrapped up their practice. But Bruce Arians did say for Saturday that it's probably not going to be, it may not even be the starters at all. Like, they might not even play Tom Brady or anybody else. And having these joint practices this week gives them the chance to just get the looks they want to look at without having to worry as much about injury, especially with the quarterbacks and things like that. So I wouldn't count on too many fireworks on Saturday. He did say, did Arians, that the third preseason game, which you remember, now there's only three, not four, and the third one used to be kind of the dress audition where the starters would play the longest, and then the fourth they didn't even dress for. Now there is no fourth, but the third is still being treated like the third preseason game used to be treated when there were four. So it looks like next Saturday night in Houston, you'll see more from the starters and things like that. Not so much of that on Saturday. And that's fine. Again, if you have a chance to go to the game, you know, if you have a chance to go to the game Saturday and you're not a season ticket holder, this is a good chance to go to the stadium, you know, actually get to see the team in person. I know it might not be the starters, but you still get to soak in the atmosphere, the cannons, especially if you have kids. Like, little kids don't know the difference, and they don't care a lot of times. So if you have kids and maybe it's too expensive, or even if it's not too expensive, it's just too difficult to get tickets to the regular season games, these preseason games are a great opportunity. And I remember, I have a lot of good memories as a kid in the 80s and 90s going to preseason games at the Sombrero, because until you reach age like, you know, maybe 9, 10, 11, you don't know. I mean, then, you know, my son now, he's like, well, this is preseason, whatever. You know, he's a little bit older now, but like a younger kid, just bring him and they'll be happy that you brought him. And if you're like me, and I don't know, you know, it depends on your circle of friends or whoever, but I had about 40 people be like, hey, I got nobody to use these tickets and I can't go. They're free. I don't care. Just take them. And I was like, well, I'm actually going to be there anyway working. But then, I mean, they're all over the place. Don't pay more than $20 to see this game Saturday, and you should still be able to go if you want to. What else? Oh, okay. The fridge schedules are done. I've already mailed out the first batch to a bunch of the people that had emailed me before, but if you want a fridge schedule, and they look real nice this year, had to shrink the font down to 11 point. You know, they were 12 point for a while. That's the basic standard font size. That 17th game kind of crunched things a little bit, but I got it down. I might have even used 11 and a half. It's almost imperceptible to the human eye, but it made it just enough so that everything fit on one page. So the schedules look good. The logos look great. For those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, I type up a fridge schedule every year that I like to put on the fridge. You know, color logos for all the teams we're going to play, dates, time, you know, the whole thing. And it's something that started back when I was a kid with my grandmother, who would cut the schedule out from the newspaper, and she'd always put it on the fridge, and that was kind of how I grew up, you know. And she'd always write the score in with X's for wins and O's for losses. And I said one day, you know, let me make a, you know, instead of just cutting the one out of the paper, which you don't even have now, let me make one, put some logos and make it real pretty. So if you just email me, you can have one. It's bobbygameday@yahoo.com. That's B-O-B-B-Y. G-A-M-E-D-A-Y, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. And if you do that, I'll email you the file, then you can print it out however you want. I recommend color print, though, of course, to really let those logos shine and pop. And I actually had one request. This was great. Who was it? I think it was a guy named Edward who emailed me and said he wants a fridge schedule. And he says, I actually work in a refrigerator factory, and now I'm asking you for a refrigerator schedule. I said, Edward, not only am I going to send you this schedule, I want you to print out like 500 of these. Every single refrigerator that comes off the line, put the schedule in there. Either get a magnet or just tuck it inside the door and the shelves. Every fridge should just come pre-issued with the schedule already there. And you buy your fridge and you got a buck schedule. Of course, these are getting shipped to probably, who knows, you know, Cornwall, UK or something. But I don't care. Put a buck schedule in there. So let's cover the earth with them. And it's nice to look up there because I just put mine up and like it's really a transition from having no schedule up there to now I got my Gators. And if you want the Gators, you can have that too if you ask. And my Bucks schedules and boom, now it's football season. Just that one thing, just that simple putting that magnet up there and sticking that schedule up there. It feels good, man. It feels real good. So here we are now. This weekend, by the way, not counting preseason football, which doesn't count, is the final weekend until February of 2022 that there won't be football that counts, because there's some college football games next week. So you got this one more weekend to get yourselves right, and the Bucks don't play till Saturday night, so whatever you got to do before then, get it all done. Like I said, if you want your fridge schedule, email me, bobbygameday@yahoo.com, or you can ask me on Twitter at bobbygameday. I just need an address or somewhere to send it in the email so I can attach the file. One other thing I wanted to mention on the show today, and it's something that has been in the news a little bit lately, and you know, this show's called The Free Stretch. We talk about a lot of different things, and obviously the Bucks are the number one focus of the show, but it's a Tampa sports show. And I always appreciate the Joes for allowing me the leeway to talk about other things besides just the Bucks. But just real quick here, because what the Tampa Bay Rays are doing right now, you know, second best record in all of MLB, the best record in the American League. They've been red hot all season long, really, and since the All-Star break, they've just continued that. And, you know, and yet still, they're in a fight. I mean, the Yankees and Red Sox are right behind them in the AL East. But the point is, there's been a lot of talk the past few days because of the whole attendance thing, which is nothing new. If you've been here for 5 minutes, you've heard about it. But if you've been around here for 20 years, you've also heard about it. But it was particularly low for a few games this week. I'm not here to talk about the attendance right now because of everything going on, you know, with COVID. I think, not that this is the first time this has happened, but I don't want to make excuses yet. I think right now, of all times, it's not the biggest thing to focus on. Yet there's some pretty low numbers the past few weeks. If you get a chance, I'm not going to tell people, oh, you should be going to the games or try to shame people. And actually, I just saw a tweet. This is when I was reading about stuff for the show here earlier. The Rays, Sun Sports had tweeted out that the ratings for their game on Wednesday night against the Orioles, despite whatever the attendance was, and I don't even remember what it was, but the TV ratings were the highest of anything on television in the Bay Area between 7:30 and 10 p.m. And that's not new. I mean, that was something Wednesday night they tweeted about, but that's not the first time. So you guys are paying attention, but what they're doing is really, really, really special right now. And, you know, coming off the World Series, it was a weird season, no fans, 60 games, all that stuff. This season, it's been a little more normal with the regular schedule. And now, you know, they went from restrictions to partial crowds, and now technically full crowds are allowed again, although a lot of people may not feel comfortable, especially with the Trot being indoors, which I totally get. But I just wanted to at least mention on the show here today what they're doing right now. And there's been a lot of talk about, you know, with the past week's numbers that came in attendance-wise, and here we go again with, oh, they're going to move and this, that, and the other. And I still don't believe that has to happen. I do want to encourage everybody listening in particular, I know they're probably not listening, but in particular, our local political leaders, and not just political leaders, but our local movers and shakers, if you will, as well as, you know, our local politicians, and as well as our reporters too, to please stop taking this split season thing seriously, because I've heard a lot more people going, yeah, you know, that might be the answer. People that matter, not just people, you know, not Joe Schmuck down the street. You know, I'm talking about people that actually are in positions to influence these things. And I wanted to say right now, if nothing else, the whole split season thing is a complete leverage play, a complete non-starter. It should be rejected immediately out of hand. And I, from Stu's standpoint, look, you say what you want about Stu Sternberg, I get it. He's an owner. He's doing what owners do. I know there's a lot of vitriol for him, but at the end of the day, he has fielded an incredible organization, and what the Rays do on a yearly basis is amazing, and just for that alone, I can't hate him. And yeah, of course he wants a free stadium. He doesn't want to pay for it. Whoever it is, whether it's us, other cities, Montreal, or anybody else, nobody seems to want to do that right now. So don't pretend like our only option is to do this split season thing. It's not. Whatever ends up happening at the end of the day with the stadium thing, it's still down the road, although it's getting less and less far down the road. But don't resign yourselves to the fact that it has to be, well, we'll just be lucky to keep the split season. We ought to really focus on that. No, this team can stay here in their own stadium permanently for a long time. That's something that can happen. And people just need to recognize what the leverages are for each side instead of, you know, just eating whatever's fed to them with this crap about splitting cities and all that, which is completely ridiculous. And to me, it's the equivalent of if my wife said, hey, listen, don't want a divorce, okay? There's this other guy, kind of like him. I would like if I could spend some time over at his place and still be married to you. And I think you should be happy about this because it'd be better than being divorced, right? I mean, would you rather just be completely divorced? Yes, I would rather be completely divorced, as a matter of fact. Like, the whole split thing is, I literally can't believe anybody is, like, okay with that. I mean, that's no different. Yeah, I would never accept that scenario. No, we're going to stay, the Tampa Bay Rays are going to stay the Tampa Bay Rays. We shouldn't even entertain this other stuff. Now, whatever's going on behind the scenes, and there's plenty of it, you know, I understand that there's a lie I don't understand. And I know there's been talks and things that I'm not privy to, and I hope there are. But GTFO with this split city thing. I mean, come on. Like, please don't be a rube. Don't be a mark. Like, they want you to think that that's something that really is a thing, and that is not a thing. It should not be a thing, at least. And if it is, then our political leaders and our business leaders around this community have failed miserably. And, you know, the hardest thing about building a stadium is the first $500 million. People act like, oh, we can build a stadium for $500 million instead of costing a billion. Honestly, yeah, that second half billion in the prize, the first $500 million. Once you get it going, there's no need. Don't half-ass it. Like, let's just do it or don't do it. If we don't want to do it, that's fine. I mean, honestly, that's fine. Figure it out or don't, but the split season thing is a joke. And I wanted to mention that, one, because it's been coming up in the news lately, but two, because this year's Rays, which is what we really should be focused on right now, here in 2021, are doing so well. And again, with COVID going on, I'm not trying to browbeat anybody into going games if they don't feel comfortable. And it does seem like people are watching on TV, but they got something going over there. And I'm not saying they're going to win the World Series. It's really tough. I don't know. You know, they may not even win the division. They haven't, you know, they're five games ahead right now. That's good, but nothing is promised. But it's just a really fun team. They're scoring runs. It's not like the old, some people complain it's boring. They're hitting the ball all over the place in addition to pitching, and they're just beating people's asses right now. And it's not going to be easy, but it's fun to watch, and we're right in the middle of it right now with the pennant. I love this time of year. I mean, there's nothing better than this time of year, and it got messed up last year with COVID, but when you get baseball season finally getting to, like, the best part after such a long season, and right when that's happening is when football's getting going. Then, you know, soon in October, it'll be hockey too, and it's all going on. I mean, these few months, like August through November, to me, they're the best of every year, and we're entering them now. So let's just enjoy it all and have fun, whether it's the Bucks, whether it's the Lightning, whether it's the Rays, or whether it's college football. But in particular, with the Bucks, you know, soak it up, folks. And get ready. Another game Saturday night, Bucks-Titans. You'll get all the coverage you need right here on JoeBucksFan.com, the best place anywhere on the internet, TV, radio, anywhere for Bucks coverage. Thanks to the Joes for giving me this platform. Thanks to our good friends at Bill Curry Ford, our sponsor. And thanks to all of you for listening and taking the time. We'll be back next week. We'll talk about the Titans game and whatever happens on Saturday night. Until then, have a great weekend. Be safe. Have fun. And wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.